Okay, we're going to teach Shabbat Shalom. Pull up a chair and let's study the word of Yahweh. Let us start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your blessed throne in heaven, and we thank you for another week of life. We thank you, Father, for the air we breathe. We thank you for the food we eat. And we thank you for each and everything that you do in our life and each and every blessing you give us every day, even the ones we don't see. So, Father, we put this time into your hands. We ask your Spirit to guide and lead as we study your word and look at the times we're living in and try to bear more fruit for your kingdom and get more serious about our calling. We thank you for all you do, and we give you all praise. In the name of your Son, Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah. Alrighty, so I am going to do a Bible study on world events and prophecy. And can you believe it? Yom Teruah is only 2 weeks away. We are getting very, very close. This past year has been a really, really interesting year, prophetic-wise. There's been a lot of world news. Wars, earthquakes, famines, Mark of the Beast system coming closer. And usually around the holy days, it seems almost every year, big things seem to happen in world events. So we know just 2 years ago was October 7th, actually on the last great day of the feast. The what they call it, Simchat Torah, the joy of the Torah. And unfortunately, we know what happened that day, one of the worst days in the history of modern Israel, and all the people that died and everything that happened that day. So one thing I say is, let Yahweh be the judge, but one thing is certainly, it was not a blessing. You know, a day that Yahweh puts out, because, Yahweh says in his word that if we're faithful, when we go to the feast, not only will he give a special blessing, but when you go to the feast, he'll protect you. He'll protect your land. He'll protect your house. You know, and that's part of the blessing of, going and appearing before Yahweh. And wow, that year, it was not the blessing that you would want. So I do feel we really need to watch for this year. The years are going by really, really fast. And, when you're looking at jubilees, and I think cycles of seven was the gateway that opened up for time-wise, in the end time and how much time is left, and how even the Yahweh's calendar, overall calendar, 6,000 years calendar works. But I think this is really a pivotal key because, we're in the year 2025 now, going into the year 2026, and like I said, there's two ways of calculating the year. Yom Teruah is the end and the beginning of the agricultural year, and of course, in Aviv is the beginning of the biblical year. So for the next, I'm saying year and a half, keep an eye out, because it seems like big things are in the horizon. I'm going to read a bunch of articles here, and a lot of things happening. And I guess you could say the wild card or the Trump card is President Trump being there and president, because good, bad, and different, he is doing things that nobody else would ever think of doing. So, like I said, some of them are really bad, and some of them are really good, and some of them are in between. But with him there, it really opens up that almost anything prophetically can happen. And over the last year, speaking with different brethren, I get the feeling that some brethren, because, we haven't had, World War III or whatever yet, that brethren are getting lax to a degree and thinking, oh, well, we might have more time, we might have this, we might have that. And to be honest, we don't have any more time, we're in it. We're already in it. So it's not the time when you come out of it, because when we come out of it, the kingdom starts. It's the time you're in it, and we are in it. We are in the end of the end. You can't get much more time, because 100% the end time started in 1945. There's no doubt about that. I've went into this in many, many, many different sermons. So you're talking about 80 years ago, So we're not in the beginning of the end time. We're not even in the middle of the end time. We're in the end of the end time. But one thing is, in life, it's very easy to get our focus off of the kingdom and off on bearing fruit. And to be honest, That's the only thing that is going to depend on your eternity. Like, you know, from today until the day Yeshua returns, no matter whether that's 5, 10, 15 years or whatever it's going to be, or you could die tonight, the fruit you bore in this life, that's your IRA. That's your 401k. That's your retirement. And if you're not bearing fruit, not only do you risk what your retirement is going to be, you risk even being there. Because we see it all over in the end time. I've given a lot of messages on that, Matthew 22, that in the end time, Yahweh literally replaces the people that aren't working. So this is a really important year, I believe. At Sukkot, I'm going to give one of the messages is separating the wheat from the chaff that I think has already started. And we really see this gap getting wider. And we don't want to be on the wrong side of that one. You don't want to be a chaff. So I think it's an important Bible study. And I'm going to get into a whole bunch of different things and world events that are going on. And I'm going to start here with the cashless society moving forward. You know, we see this happening. And like I said, this has actually been 2 years on the books. There is the cashless society. You know, the thing is why people really don't see it is because you basically may be paying your bills the same way. But even for the fact now that everything is done through Federal Reserves and it's not done anymore through local banks, you really see the difference because I don't know the percentage-wise, but almost all banking now is done online. You know, I know I do. Very few people. And a matter of fact, even local banks only have one teller and are saying there's not going to be any teller here soon. You know, like you better learn to do online banking because that's all it is. And online banking is digital, you know, banking, digital currencies. If you're watching in the news, you know, it seems like President Trump has been in there for about a decade. You know, it's only been about 7 months that he's been in office. And one of the big things he's been doing is pushing the digital currencies. He has raised, I believe it's $1.5 trillion in the digital currency move. His sons are in the big, I think they made like $1 billion already on a U.S. Bitcoin that they're coming out with, a government Bitcoin. You're starting to see the U.S. government taking stake in Intel in companies now, which is only going to be the beginning. You know, that is socialist stuff. And yet it doesn't seem that the Republicans care because Trump is doing it. But there is a lot of things changing. And man, I can't believe in just 7 months that he's been in there how much has changed on this realm, on the realm of these things. There's also about $2 trillion in commercial loans that are getting ready to crash coming in the spring. So you might see a major, major, not only real estate crash, but and really, and the real estate really has been frozen, if you notice, for several years, because interest rates are higher and prices went up. There aren't any buyers and people don't want to sell. So it's just like a frozen market that's there. But there's $2 trillion in commercial loans that could fall, which, again, it's all part of the master plan, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to get any kind of smaller bank out and just have national banks. So I see it all the time in the news, which banks are merging, which banks are going down. It's all part of the plan. But keep your eyes on that. Wars, Matthew 24, starting in verse 3. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him, Yeshua, privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And answering, Yeshua said to them, "See that no man deceive you." Wow, so that's the first thing. And boy, is there deception everywhere. Not the message for today, but a message you can go into almost any time with what's out there. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will cause many to be deceived." And while if people can fall for something as idiotic as the flat earth, then you could fall for anything, you know. So this is where we are. "For you are bound to hear of revolutions and rumors of wars. Watch out, you do not be disturbed, for it is necessary for these things to happen, but it is not yet the end. For nation will be raised against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and plagues and earthquakes in different places. But all these are a beginning of sorrows." A couple of weeks ago, there was, I believe it was an 8.8 earthquake in Russia. It was the sixth largest earthquake in the history of the world. And if you watch, I watch the weather a lot because the weather's a lot related to end time things. But even the hurricane systems over the last like 5, 6, 7 years, you just keep seeing every year they're saying something like there's been 5 hurricanes that are category 5. It's never happened before. It's never happened before. It's never happened before. And it keeps happening because it's the time that we are living in. So we're seeing this. We're seeing earthquakes. We're seeing wars. And although there's roughly 100 wars going around the world, we know some wars are worse than other wars. And according to the global order, some wars are more important. The war in Ukraine, it's a war that seems to not end. But these are the kind of wars that can go into World War III. Because it shouldn't. There's no reason why. I mean, nothing against Ukraine. I wish for peace for them. I don't want to see anybody die. But there's no reason why the biggest nuclear powers in the world should be headbutting over Ukraine. And yet they are, because of different reasons. U.S. built 9 chemical weapon plants there. That's right on Russia's doorstep. And that's also, you know, where Russia is not going to let it go past there. So a lot is happening there. It doesn't look anytime soon that that war is going to be done. We see the war going on in Israel now for 2 years. To be honest with you, for all intents and purposes, though, that war with Hamas is really over. You know, Hamas is so weakened, it's not even funny. You know, the biggest thing Israel should be worried about is getting their hostages out. They still have 20 to 30 hostages there. And they're just using it as collective punishment to starve, you know, people out there, more than 60,000 people. A lot of them, women and children, have been killed. And they don't want to stop it because it really doesn't matter with Hamas. It's not about Hamas. We know it, that they're trying to bring in, and it's something I'm going to get into the second part of the study, which when you look at prophecy, and we know that Satan is a major counterfeiter to prophecy, and what he's trying to do is he's trying to counterfeit Yahweh. The same way we see after 3,500 years, Mount Sinai is open for the first time in 3,500 years. What does Satan do? He brings the Neon Project and tries to destroy everything there. So the whole project of it's not in the Bible, it's Assyria, where Saudi Arabia starts over there, and Egypt and Israel will be one in that day. So Israel is part of the Neon Project, and that's what Gaza is going to be all about, you know. And you don't have to take my word for it. Go online, look up President Trump's 30-second commercial where the golden image of Trump that's like 75 feet high, and he's sitting there drinking a pina colada with Netanyahu. But he's serious. This is no joke. They want to expel. Just this week, there was an article, I don't have it with me, but a President Trump telling Netanyahu, give all Palestinians $5,000 cash, get them out of there, and then, you know, they will start building the Trump Gaza from there as part of the Neon Project coming in all those areas. The other thing is Syria. Syria has been a hotspot here for about 6 months or maybe even longer. And recently, don't ask me why, Israel has been going and they've been bombing Syria, even in Damascus. And one of the things, though, is, I'm not sure if you saw it in the news, that Turkey has made an alliance with the new government in Syria because it's the perfect alliance for them. Because remember, the Turks are fighting with the Kurds that are up there. So by them to get control of northern Syria, that's perfect for them. So Turkey is no friend of Israel, and that could be the next hotspot for Israel to fight. But Syria is a big problem up there. And like I said, Israel, for whatever reason, is militarily going in there and doing some a lot of bombing and different things. Here's an article from Turkey. That Turkey says Israel should be suspended from the UN General Assembly. Foreign Minister Hakim Fidan on Monday urged Islamic nations to work towards suspending Israel from participating in the United Nations General Assembly meetings and activities. Speaking at an emergency summit of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, foreign ministers held in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Fidan said the Palestinians need a collective action to end Israel's genocide in Gaza and settler violence in the occupied West Bank. And the settlers are doing more It's terrorism. It's terrorism when the Palestinians do it, and it's terrorism when Israelis do it. But if you're going and burning down people's houses and killing people and doing all that, no matter if you're a Palestinian or an Israeli, it's terrorism. Fadan stressed that Israel's genocidal aggression continues in Gaza, where 500,000 people face catastrophic hunger, adding that the UN has now officially declared famine in the territory. He noted that Hamas has already accepted the ceasefire plan proposed by Qatar and Egypt, yet the Israeli government still seeks the erasure of the Palestinians. So this is where we're at, and it's just a matter of time. I'll get into some articles later in the Bible study on something bigger than that that Israel has been doing, that is getting all the Arab countries now coming together, having a major meeting to talk about possibly cutting off all ties with Israel and suspending the Abraham Accords because of some of the things that they're doing there. Here's an article from Iran, because that's as quick as that war started, was as quick as it seemed like it ended. But, you know, it was all strategically planned on both sides, the beginning and the end of it. And there was a lot of damage that came here. But this says, no ceasefire. Khamenei military advisor warns war with Israel could restart at any time. So this is the kind of thing that has always happened with Israel, whether it's with Lebanon in the north or Syria. They usually start these things, they last a few weeks or a month, and then they end and there's no agreement, which means they could start up at any time again. And that's what happened over here with Iran. There was no peace agreement, there was no ceasefire even, or anything that came from there. So this is a senior official in the Islamic Revolutionary Guard group that he said on Sunday that another war with Israel, the United States, could begin at any time. We are not in a ceasefire. We are in a stage of war. No protocol, regulation, or agreement has been written between us and the U.S. or Israel. Yahya Ravim Savari, a senior military advisor to Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, told Iranian media. I think another war may happen, and after that there may be no more wars, he added, according to a translation by Iran International, which means their plan is trying to wipe Israel off the map, like they say. The Americans and the Zionists say they create peace through power. Therefore, Iran must also become strong, because in the system of nature, the weak are trampled. We must strengthen our diplomatic, media, missile, drone, and cyber offensive strategy. We, the military, do scenario planning. We see the worst case, we prepare a plan for it. In late July, Iran's foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, threatened to attack Israel and the U.S. in a more decisive manner if either of them targeted the Islamic Republic again. After declaring an Israel victory in July, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu threatened to renew attacks on Iran if the Islamic Republic continued to enrich uranium, which they are, saying that if anyone in Iran tries to rebuild the nuclear program, we will act with the same determination, with the same intensity, to foil any attempt. Iran has consistently denied seeking to acquire nuclear weapons, which, although they are. However, it enriched uranium to levels that have no peaceful application, obstructed international inspectors from checking its nuclear facilities, and expanded its ballistic missile capabilities. Israel said Iran had recently taken steps toward weaponization. Iran retaliated with strikes by launching over 500 ballistic missiles and around 1,100 drones at Israel. The attacks killed 31 people and wounded over 3,000 in Israel, according to health officials and hospitals. In all, there were 36 missile impacts, one drone strike in populated areas, causing damage to 2,305 homes, this is in Israel, 240 buildings, along with two universities and a hospital, and the Weizmann Institute was really, really badly destroyed, and leaving over 13,000 Israelis displaced. So one reason Israel stopped that war was they couldn't go on more than another week. They didn't have the capabilities with missiles and gas and all the other things they had there. So, and the last one I want to just read here on war is with China. Very interesting. I don't know if anybody saw this the last couple of days. China doing a big military parade. You know, President Trump did one, you know, a few months ago that kind of was a dud. Because in America, we're not into that kind of stuff. That's for dictators. But in China, it's a big thing. So China's military showed off laser weapons, a highly intelligent tank, and a host of advanced missiles in a big parade. And who was with him? President Putin and also Kim Jong-un from North Korea. The three of them were there during this. And the one that President Trump got on the wrong side of now by giving 50% tariffs, Prime Minister Modi of India. India was one of our best friends. Everything was great with India. And now India is really, really mad. And they are going to China and making alliance over there. China showcased dozens of new weapons types and platforms in a grand parade on Wednesday. Many of them, such as anti-ship missiles and ICBMs for nuclear, allow it to project power far from its shores. The new systems include a slew of advanced missiles and high-tech weapons such as lasers. China unveiled a wide range of new advanced weapon systems across its military branches on Wednesday in a display of might targeted at both its local populace and the globe. The parade, attended by dozens of the world's leaders aligned with Beijing, commemorated the 80th anniversary of Japan's defeat in World War II and was the first time such a grand procession had been organized in the last 6 years. Many of the new capabilities on display are designed to allow China to project military power far from its shores as Beijing vies to match U.S. primacy in the Indo-Pacific. Among the debut weapons were long-range, powerful anti-ship missiles and intercontinental ballistic missiles, or ICBMs, capable of carrying nuclear warheads worldwide. Some glitzy high-tech systems also appeared in public for the first time. So all these things. There was the DF-61. It's estimated to have a range of 12,000 kilometers or 7,550 miles. With all these missiles intended to be nuclear capable, Wednesday's reveal covered new entities in all three legs of China's strategic nuclear triad. Then came a major highlight, a new variant of China's liquid-fueled ICBM. China then showed a glimpse of the DF-5C, a new version of its largest ICBM. It means to be launched from a fixed silo with a liquid propellant that is slower to prepare but is expected to have a range of 8,000 to 9,300 miles, meaning it can strike anywhere in the continental U.S. The DF-5C is also believed to be capable of carrying up to 10 multiple independently targetable re-entry vehicles, or MIRV, warheads. This capability allows a single ICBM to attack multiple locations simultaneously. And actually, this was one of the missiles, not with nuclear, but that Iran was using when they were attacking Israel. That was one of their new, where a missile would come, and when the missile gets near the target, they could shoot like 10 different missiles, ballistic missiles, from there. So, a lot of war front, a lot of things on the war front going on, and this is going to be a big year. And to be honest, I really believe that China and Russia at this point do not want war. They know America is more powerful. They know what the capabilities are going to be. But at the same rate, they know if they don't, they know what the other side of it's going to be. That once America, because now President Trump is really pushing with that Star Wars type plan where any kind of missiles that would come to America, America would be covered in a dome and they wouldn't be able to do it. So they know that the clock is winding on, you know, being able to at least neutralize America. But also when we look prophetically, we see in Joel 3, verse 9, Joel 3 and verse 9. And of course, I'll get into the beginning of Joel in a little bit, but this is all end time that we're living now. And look what he says. Proclaim this among the nations. Sanctify a war. Awaken the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plows into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. So the exact opposite that's going to happen when the kingdom comes. Let the weak say, I am strong. Gather yourself and come, all you nations, and gather yourself together all around, O Yahweh. Bring down your mighty ones. Let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the nations around. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down to the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in valley of decision, for the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision. So this is where Yahweh literally is putting a hook in the mouth of these leaders. And whether they want the war or not, it's coming. And when you have people in office, you know, like President Trump, that instigates, it makes it much easier, you know. I just saw in the news yesterday that all of the major nations are coming together and talking about how to neutralize, you know, what he's doing, not just militarily, but economically and with a lot of these things that he's pushing, you know, because world leaders of countries, they're not just going to lay down and let President Trump come. You know, he might say America first, but I would think everybody, every country wants their country first. So the world isn't here just to appease America or President Trump. And that's what kind of starts wars when you push it to the point that, you know, you push people past their point. We also have AI, Elon Musk's tattoo, taking over the internet. And I'll read an article here. I'm just reading parts of these articles. When I send out this newsletter next week, it'll have the full articles there. I'm just giving you the highlights of some of them. It says, 18 months after becoming the first human implanted with Elon Musk's brain chip, Neuralink participant one, Nolan Arbaugh, says his whole life has changed. It was February 2024 when Nolan Arbaugh, the first person to get Elon Musk's experimental brain chip, rolled across the stage in a wheelchair during a Neuralink all-hands meeting, revealing his identity for the first time. The room filled with Neuralink employees erupted in applause as Arbaugh, who dislocated two of his vertebrae in a swimming accident in 2016 and has since lost sensation and movement below his shoulders, smiled ear to ear in his chair, a red Texas A&M hat planted on his head, and he grinned as he began to speak, "Hello, humans." About a month after that town hall, Arbaugh had undergone surgery at the Barrow Neurological Institute in Phoenix, about 2.5 hours from his home in Yuma, to get an experimental chip embedded into his brain, which Neuralink has been working on and testing on animals for the past 9 years. Arbaugh was anesthetized, and in a surgery that lasted just under 2 hours, a Neuralink-made robotic surgery device implanted the chip and connected tiny threads with more than 1,000 electrorods to the neurons in his brain. Now the device can measure electrical activity, process signals, then translate those signals into commands to a digital device. In layman speak, the BCI, a brain-computer interface, allows Arbaugh to control a computer with his mind. As a result, Arbaugh can do things like play Mario Kart, control his television, and turn his Dyson air purifier on and off without physically moving his fingers or any other part of his body. So here we are. Wow. Being able to do things just from your brain. So we know all the stuff that's going on with AI. I'll be putting up a message tomorrow that I had done a couple of weeks ago on commercial Babylon and all these things that are happening now. But it's much more advanced, I think, than people realize. And one of the big things that's taken over the last 6 months is AI has really taken over the internet. Everything now is AI. It's you, and you can't turn it off. It's part of the internet. Everything is being run by AI. Everything is being searched by AI. And it's just amazing that because we're so conditioned to it, we don't realize that every single thing in a human being's life is marketed. From the minute you wake up, to the food you're going to eat, to the job you're going to work, to the books you're going to read, to the stores you're going to buy things, every last thing that you do is not only marketed, but while you're doing it, you're being marketed. You know, supermarkets are set the way they put the candy near the checkout aisle, the way they put the cereal, all the things, everything is there to market. And, you know, like I was saying in this message, I was shocked even going to America and just getting gas. I'm putting gas in my car and there's a little, you know, screen over there and there's all commercials on that screen trying to sell you something. But it is 24/7 and it's everything. It's your health, it's your food, it's your education, it's your religion. It's absolutely everything in your life is being marketed. And it's amazing that, you know, now whatever you're doing, every single human being has a profile. So no matter who you are, there's a profile of you in a file with not just your, you know, age and all the things about you, hair color and eye color and all that stuff. That's just the beginning of it. But it's also everything about you, your voice recognition, that's all on file. So that's one of the reasons why if you try to do banking online or something, they know you as soon as you call up. And that's why what's really strange is I have a phone number that nobody knows because it's not even a phone. And, you know, I only use this phone for one person, my dad. And without anyone even knowing that phone number, I get phone calls now on that phone from my bank in the U.S. that they somehow know that phone and that phone number. And the way they know I'm on the other end is by my voice recognition, because it's all into a file. So every single thing you do, everything you eat, everything you like, everything you search online, because like I said, about a third of what comes on Yahoo or whatever else you're on there is just what they're infiltrating you with. The rest is what you've produced. By you looking at an article, they're going to give you what you want to see and what you want to hear. And this is 24/7 you are being marketed. This is 24/7 going into your brain. And that's why I say it over and over, but I'm telling you, get rid of those phones. The frequencies in those phones are brainwashing you every single day of your life. If you got to be on the internet, do it as little as possible, the more time you're on that internet. And it's now, it's not only saying it cautiously from a point of view, but it's literally, they've been doing scientific studies on this, improving it. Things that I thought, that I felt in my spirit 10, 15 years ago from Yahweh, scientifically I can prove it to you now, the stuff they're doing. But the scary part about it now, the scary part is that now they no longer have to profile you. Because now that online file that they have is you, and that file is changing you. So instead of the file extracting all your voice and all your things to get information on you, now the file is you and is making you into what it wants you to be. That's scary. And that's where they're saying about people living forever. That's what they're talking about, because they can now, they have the ability, they're doing it, making robots. So they can make a robot that looks just like any human being, and all they have to do is download that file into that person. And the person can live forever, right? But that's Satan's way. And that's why I say, when people try to tell me about AI and all this stuff, I'm like, you know what? I don't need AI. I got the real thing. The real thing is the Ruach. That is what Satan is trying to counterfeit with AI. You know, so we don't need all the false stuff the same way. There could be somebody there that, you know, looks like me and talks like me or whatever. But if you cut the arm and there's all, you know, diodes or something, it's not me. So Satan can only counterfeit. Satan can't make real. But you don't want him to be able to create you to the way he wants you to be. When Yahweh wants to create us in his image, in his likeness, and Satan is doing it in the world. And that's why in the end time, whoever takes the mark of the beast will not have eternal life. And it's all part of the mark of the beast. It's not a little computer chip in your hand, which may be part of it, but that's not it. It's that Satan is creating the world in his image. And as long as we're in that world, and as long as we're doing everything in the world and part of it, we're part of the mark of the beast system. So we need to think about this as time is going on. And like I said, the message I'll be putting up tomorrow is pretty much all on that. Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. It says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of the world, according to the will of the ruler or the prince of the authority of the air, the spirit which is active in the sons of disobedience. In those very deeds in which we also were corrupted from the very beginning through the lusts of our flesh, doing the things willed of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest. That's what Satan is doing. He literally, this is what it says, he is the prince of the power of the airwaves, and he's using that to pretty much brainwash every human being on this planet, at least that he can. And like I said, every part of our life is being marketed, you know, our health, our food, political views, You know, everything is being manipulated by the prince of the power of the airwaves. 2 Timothy 4. It says, I solemnly charge you before Yahweh and the Master Yeshua, Messiah, he being about to judge the living and the dead at his appearance in his kingdom, preach the word, stand by it in season and out of season. Here we are, we're getting into the holy day season here. That's why I always try to preach special messages at that time of the year. Convict, warn, encourage with all patience and teaching, for a time will be when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own lusts, they will add to themselves extra teachers according to their own desires. And here we are, right? There's no judicial order. People just teaching, you know, just go on the calendar and you'll get 1,000 different calendars, 1,000 different ways. And now it's not only being a day or two different, you know, than the biblical calendar. Sometimes now it's months, you know. It's months, people starting the year in February, people, you know, days starting at all different kinds of times. Sabbath no longer being on Saturday, you know, rotating on the week, all kinds of really crazy stuff. So it says, a time will be when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own lusts, they will add to themselves extra teachers according to their own desires, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The book of Enoch is a fable. There was no writing during the time of Enoch. There are no books before the flood. You know, it's a miracle that we have things from the time of the Israelites, and there's not much, but you have carving sometimes because there was no paper. So that's why they're carving. That's why does Hebrew go from right to left? Because most people are right-handed, and when you're carving, that's what you're doing. You're carving from right to left. And, you know, it's very rare. You know, that you see. We do have some. There are some carvings, even from the time of King David, but there's not a lot. There certainly are not any carvings from the time of Enoch. Enoch did not write any books, and if you read the book, it's as silly as anything. It's actually kind of ridiculous with some of the things that are put in there. And actually, it's supposed to be Enoch's son, I think, writing it, not Enoch himself, but the same thing. So this is what it is. They're turning their ears to truth and turn aside to fables. And these same people, they're not studying the Bible. They're not studying these books, but they all want to get into Enoch and all these other apocryphal books that are a bunch of nonsense. 2 Timothy 3:7, if you go back one chapter, it says, always striving to learn, but never being able to come to a full knowledge of the truth. So that's the point, you know, that is our learning for knowledge, or is our learning for relationship, you know, to get closer to Yahweh. Because if our learning is only for knowledge, the Bible says it's devilish. You know, what good is it? What good is having all the knowledge in the world if you're not going to be there when the time of the kingdom comes? So, you know, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So we want to make sure we're not in that category. Always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, one page back. But what should we be doing? And study to present yourself approved to Elohim, a workman unashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane, empty babblings, for they will go on to more unrighteousness, and their word will eat like a canker. Wow, there's certain things in the Bible sometimes that I wonder, wow, how did they even know to put that in there? But if you ever had a canker sore, oh, it is nasty, and it really hurts. And that's what it is. So their words is like a bad canker sore in your mouth. And the Bible says to shun these profane, empty babblings, because it's just going to go, babblings, they're just going to go on to more unrighteousness. We must study the word daily and not be deceived, and we must stay away from these false books. And I got to say, I'm really happy that, like, in our congregation, praise Yahweh, we don't have these problems. Every year, especially at the beginning of the biblical year in Aviv, I have people writing me and asking me a lot of questions. Sometimes it's elders from different congregations. And we haven't had any problem in our congregation in many, many, many years when it comes to the calendar, because it's really simple. You know, the calendar book is very simple. You know, you read that book, it makes it very simple how to do it. But like I said, there's a lot of confusion out there from people, you know, not studying scripture and going to these other books and being deceived. So we want to make sure we're staying away from these false books. So the last thing I want to get into now is is a Palestinian state getting ready to come? So there's something that's coming up this month. This month, this is September. So it's the month of the general meeting, you know, at the United Nations. And one of the big things on the agenda is voting for a Palestinian state. So is that going to happen? Well, President Trump and America is trying everything in their power to make sure it doesn't. And they did something that is extraordinary that I want to read you here to try to stop this. And it says, U.S. says it will ban the Palestinian authorities, Abbas, the president, Mahmoud Abbas, and 80 other officials from attending the UN General Assembly. So according to international law, this is illegal. So you know, like, when America has a base in another country, that is American soil, that's American land at that point, because their base is there. It's the same with United Nations. United Nations, technically, is international space there. And I remember there were years with the man from Iran, Ahmadinejad, and different really, really bad actors, even Saddam Hussein. Like, people like you, like, why do they let these guys in? Or why don't you let him in and then arrest him? And according to international law, they had to let those guys come. And they went up there and they sprued whatever they were going to sprue. And here it is, Mahmoud Abbas. And I'm no fan of Mahmoud Abbas, believe me. I think he is a bad guy. He'll get his soon. You know, he's an older guy when he goes. But at this point, he's not doing much, you know, bad. He's doing very little of anything. The Palestinian Authority is getting ready to collapse, and that's going to be a major problem for Israel when that happens, but I think they're doing it on purpose. But to ban him and any official that might want to vote for a Palestinian state, to ban them from the UN General Assembly is, like, insane. So it says, the United States on Friday will not allow Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas to travel to New York next month. This just came out August 29th. For a United Nations gathering of world leaders where several U.S. allies are set to recognize Palestine as a state. A State Department official told the Times of Israel that a U.S. visa ban on Palestinian officials planning to attend the United Nations General Assembly announced earlier in the day would cover Abbas along with 80 other officials. The unprecedented step came a month after the State Department first announced that it would pursue the policy which it now appeared to be implementing. Abbas had been planning to travel to New York for the annual high-level UN General Assembly at UN headquarters in Manhattan. He was also set to attend a summit there hosted by France and Saudi Arabia, where Britain, France, Australia, Canada, Belgium are also planning to formally recognize a Palestinian state. Abbas's office says it was astonished by the visa decision and argued that it violated the UN headquarters agreement. So we'll see what happens from there. I know when this happened with Yasser Arafat back in the late 1980s, they actually, all the world leaders said, no way, and they changed the meeting to somewhere in Europe, and they allowed Arafat to go there. So we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. But not a good sign when something like that is happening. But this is big because we know, if we go back to Joel 2, or Joel 3, I'm sorry, we know that one of the major things in the end time, beside Babylon falling, is a Palestinian state being made to bring on the wrath of Yahweh and the day of Yahweh. So Joel 3 and verse 1 says, for behold, in those days and at that time, again, end time, when I bring again the exiles of Judah and Jerusalem now, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there for my people and my inheritance Israel, whom they scattered among the nations and they divided my land. So here it is, Yahweh, not because of any, you know, Israel's goodness, like he says, but because of his name. He is bringing Israel back to the land in preparation for the kingdom. And Satan is trying to thwart that plan by making a Palestinian state. So we will see what happens. But it is, you know, it is with everything that happened in Gaza, a Palestinian state is probably closer now than it's been since, you know, Israel became a nation again. Verse 3 is very interesting too. They said, they have cast lots for my people. They have given a boy for a prostitute and sold a girl for wine, and they drank. And I have an article I want to read. I'm not sure if you may want to take the children outside, because it's a pretty nasty article. I'm not going to read. I'm only reading a small part of it because it's really bad. But I do have to read part of this article, because there is something that's going on in Israel that is just disgusting. And although it's part of prophecy, it does have to be let out, because if you look at what's going on in America with that whole Epstein thing, right? And people keep wondering. It'll only be 5 minutes. It won't be longer than that. I'm just going to read this page, and then you can come back in. But this Epstein thing is much bigger than Epstein, you know. And a lot of reports have Epstein actually worked for Mossad, and there's probably a good chance he did. And that a lot of this is not only the perversion of what went on, what they were doing with these, children, but also for blackmailing and using as blackmail. But something that has been going on in Israel is just as bad, if not worse, than what was going on with Epstein. And like I said, when I send this out next week, it's about a 7 or 8 page article. And it's in the national news there in the back, but you can get, they had it in J-Post, they had it in Times of Israel. So this is not conspiracy. This is actually true, because they're actually having hearings from the Knesset on it. But it says, horrifying testimonies seek to lift shroud of silence around ritual sex abuse claims by religious in Israel. Survivors tell Knesset lawmakers of organized assaults on children by those claiming the mantle of religion, alleging long-standing phenomenon made worse by official indifference. Police have opened an investigation into multiple allegations of organized ritual sexual abuse after accusers relayed harrowing testimony of torture, rape, and other horrors to lawmakers late last month. The July 27th hearing, including testimony from alleged victims, now adults, regarding abuse they had experienced as children, primarily in the ultra-Orthodox and national religious communities in Jerusalem, Bnei Brak, Haifa, Sfat, and elsewhere. Accusers recounted tales of gruesome sexual abuse they experienced as children, usually by groups of people involving ritualistic religious rhetoric and iconography. The abuse took place in schools, synagogues, private homes, warehouses, cemeteries, and forests. The testimony left MKs from the Knesset Committee on the Status of Women and Gender Equality and the Special Committee on Youth Affairs visibly shaken, several of them in tears. Several women alleged that religious and community leaders had participated in the abuse. One woman named Yael testified that she had heard accounts from several women alleging that doctors, educators, police officers, and both former and current Knesset members took part. Others who recounted their experiences requested anonymity to speak openly about the ghastly tortures they underwent. The one woman said, I was 15 at the time, tied to a torture bed in basements in the Tel Aviv area, said one woman, recalling an incident in which her abusers, including family members, slaughtered a snake, mixed its blood with hers, and drank it while raping her and calling her a holy vessel. They tied me up in every possible way, using whips and electric shocks, raping me, said another survivor who testified that she was 5 years old when she began suffering unbearable abuse, including by religious leaders and educators who told her that she was defective and needed to be fixed. Another accuser said that her father and others abused and trafficked her as a child in sadistic networks involving rituals, allegedly including well-known figures, including politicians. Several victims noted that many of the incidents were filmed on camera or phones. It's hard to explain what happened here. There are children, cameras, blood, and death. And like I said, that's all I'm going to read for now, but I do have the whole article that I will be sending out. And this is definitely tied with this Epstein thing, because from some of the people I know in Israel that were telling me that one of the reasons that President Trump doesn't want to release it, besides the fact of him being in it, and who knows how much he's in it, but that he's getting a lot of pressure from Israeli politicians because there's a lot of Israelis that are involved in this. So this is not the reason that Yahweh made a nation of Israel again. And to be honest, we know of some of this stuff living there and what goes on in the Orthodox, quote-unquote, religious community. And that's why it just sickens me, because so many Christian people think that you have to unequivocally support Israel for everything and support the religious there. And it is just not so. The religious there mostly are evil people. It's, you know who are the good people in Israel? The secular. The regular, everyday people that are your neighbors. And you know why they're secular? Because they are so fed up and sick of the religious and sick of this kind of stuff that they said, if that's the way that the religious act, I want no part of it. And who knows, maybe in the end, they'll be part of that remnant that Yahweh's going to work with. But the religious, the politicians, it's just like in America. And it is, this is the tip of the iceberg. It is a big, big story there, like Epstein. And this thing ain't going away. And I really hope that these people in America and in Israel that were abusing children in this way, I hope that they get everything that's coming to them. And it's another part of the end time. But I found it interesting because even the scripture says it about it. And I always said, man, that's got to be though something else. I couldn't see, you know, in Israel, them doing that. And here it is. Here it is. They're doing it. Okay. You can come back now. I got another article here on, like I said, Hamas, because they are in such a weakened state, they want to try to get a ceasefire. And they are really in bad shape, but Israel is not doing it. And one of the reasons why, like I said, beside this thing going on with Gaza, is Israel is looking to annex the West Bank, which is going to really be... They have gotten away with pretty much everything to this point that they did. But if they annex the West Bank, I have a feeling that bigger problems are coming. Let me see if I can find that article here. Yes. Security Cabinet meets, reportedly discusses West Bank annexation, but not hostage deal. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu conveyed his Security Cabinet in Tel Aviv on Sunday evening, reportedly discussing the looming takeover of Gaza City and the option of extending Israel's sovereignty to the West Bank, but skipping entirely the issue of the ceasefire hostage deal that Hamas agreed to 2 weeks ago. One issue that was widely reported ahead of the Security Cabinet meeting was to be on its agenda was the potential annexation of parts of the West Bank, with several far-right ministers pushing for such a step. And they have, Israel has now some really, really bad right-wing guys that are in there. And I don't believe that they're Torah people. Some of them say they are, but they don't seem to be. But they're pushing for this so-called Greater Israel. And one thing I've always said, and why I've always stuck up for Israel for all these years, since 1945 and Israel becoming a nation, Israel never, ever, ever once tried to overtake land that wasn't there. It was always the Arabs trying to take Israel's land. But now, in this Greater Israel plan, you know, Israel, their plan is to try to take over. Try to take over Syria, try to take over Lebanon, try to take over, you know, Gaza and some of these other areas there. And it is going to be a real problem if they do this. It's going to be a problem. I want to find this other article that I have here, because Qatar, who was actually a fairly neutral country for an Arab country, they were the first country to sign the accord with Donald Trump, you know, the Abraham Accord. Not sure where to put that article. But Qatar was coming out and saying that if Israel does annex the West Bank, that will be the last straw. That, and this is why the Arab countries are actually meeting within the next week. They're all getting together because they said they've put up with so far with what's going on in Gaza. They put up with, you know, the fighting with Iran, because Iran is Shiite. Most of those are Sunni, and there's no love lost there. I think some of those Arab countries even wanted Iran to lose. But if they annex the West Bank, they are going to have a big problem on their hands. So we will see what's happened from there, and that's what looks like the plan could be. So where Israel, for the most part, was always looking just to get out of whatever situation they were in at the time, not to escalate and move on, now, as we see with Iran, that Iran war this summer was Israel attacking Iran, not Iran attacking Israel. But there is a different mindset that's there now. Excuse me, from some of those right-wing ministers of literally trying to take over, try to take over what's going on there. And we will see. The other thing is, if you're watching for, the sacrificing of the red heifer, they've been talking about this for years. They had 5 cows that actually fit the regulation, without having, I think it's more than 2 or 3 white hairs. Since then, 2 or 3 of those cows were disqualified. They actually did kill one. They sacrificed one in June, a disqualified one, as a test. So there's only either 1 or 2 left, which means they got to do it quick because it's got to be under a certain age too. So that's something to keep your eye on because that's the beginning. If they want to have a sacrificial system, they have to have the ashes of the red heifer. When I read the article on it like a month ago, I was surprised to find out that there's only been 9 red heifers killed since the beginning of the sacrificial system. So it's not something that happens all the time. Those ashes go a long, long way. They only need a little bit of ashes in big pools of purifying. So they are still trying to build a third temple. We'll see what happens. I know recently, these right-wing zealot ministers have been going up to the Temple Mount praying, which is supposed to be a no-no, and they're getting away with it. So we will see. But they are pushing. They're pushing for Israel to take the land, and they're pushing for a third temple to be built. And I'm all for both when the kingdom comes, because there will be a third temple. We know that. Because when Israel's resurrected, they have to be brought into the new covenant. So there will be a temple for that time. And there will be sacrifices for that time. But it will only be when the King of Kings and the Master of Masters returns, Yeshua. But before that, as a believer, I don't know why any believer would have anything to do with animal sacrifices or a temple being built by Jerusalem. And like Yahweh says in Isaiah 66, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the place you're going to build for me? And he literally says when they do these sacrifices, it's going to be like breaking a pig's, sacrificing a pig. He will not accept that. So President Trump is backing Israel, taking over Gaza and expelling all the Palestinians into the Gaza Golden Trump City, like we said. And Isaiah 11, 14 through 16, last thing I'm going to go into here. Isaiah 11, because like I said, what all this is, keep in mind, it's all Satan trying to mimic Yahweh. Isaiah 11, 14 through 16. He says, but they will fly onto the shoulder of the Philistines to the west, exactly what they're doing. Together they will plunder the sons of the east, exactly what they're doing. The stretching of the hand on Edom and Moab and the sons of Ammon, they will obey them. And Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. And with the scorching wind he will wave his hand over the river and shall strike it into 7 torrents and make one tread it with shoes. So again, the Red Sea being set into 7 different highways. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, those left from Assyria, as it was to Israel in the day when he came up out of the land of Egypt. So this is what Yahweh's doing, and Satan is trying to counterfeit this. We go to Isaiah 19. Isaiah 19 and verse 19. It says, then an altar to Yahweh will be in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to Yahweh at its border. That pillar is still there today on the Egyptian side. If you go to the Red Sea crossing on the Egyptian side, you still see that pillar. And it will be a sign and a witness to Yahweh of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to Yahweh because of the oppressors, and he will send them a savior, even a great one, who will deliver them. We know Yeshua is that great one. Drop down to verse 23. In that day there shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, And Assyria will come into Egypt, and Egypt into Assyria. And Egypt shall serve with Assyria. We were just reading in the other scripture this. And in that day Israel shall be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth. Whom Yahweh of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be my people Egypt and Assyria, and the work of my hands, and Israel my inheritance. And this is why Satan is trying to counterfeit exactly what Yahweh is going to do in the kingdom. And you know what I read? What they're doing now, believe it or not. Planning completed for a $4 billion Moses Bridge linking Africa and Asia as construction is set to commence. So where Yahweh's saying he's going to make a highway there from Egypt to Assyria, Satan is building a bridge. He is going to, they don't need the Red Sea crossing anymore. They are building a bridge here. Saudi and Egyptian governments have officially reactivated the Moses Bridge, they call it, project, a historic one to connect Asia and Africa. The bridge will link Ras Hamad in Saudi Arabia with Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt across the Strait of Tarim. This multi-billion dollar bridge, estimated at $4 billion, will be financed solely by Saudi Arabia. Egypt's transport minister, Kamal el-Wazir, recently announced that planning was over. They're ready to start. He promised that the project stands ready to be executed. Currently, travel between the two nations depends on maritime services offered by the Arab Bridge Maritime Company. However, the Moses Bridge is expected to significantly boost trade, tourism, and religious pilgrims. Moreover, it facilitates Saudi Arabia's vision for its future Neom City, with the ability to accommodate over 1 million pilgrims annually to the Moses Bridge, is a promise of spiritual and economic prominence, hoped to be implemented by 2030. Implementation, scope, and significance of the Moses Bridge is unlimited. Wow. So, and if you look at everything that's going on with this global plan, everything they say was to start in 2025 and finish in 2030. So here we are. Here we are. It's in Yahweh's times and dates are in Yahweh's hands. But at the end of it, we are in that time. Things are happening. They're happening really fast. The last scripture I want to read, I've read this before, but 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6. It says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you. For you yourself know accurately the day of Yahweh comes as a thief in the night, right? For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them like the travail to the woman with child, and not at all shall they escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then we should not sleep as the rest also do, but we should watch and be sober. So, yeah, while the world will sit there and be asleep, the people of Yahweh, we got to watch and pray always, because there is a lot of stuff happening. And like I said, we've only left the waiting room to the beginning right now. Like it says, when you see all these things, the end is not yet, because there is, whether that means 5 years, 3 years, 7 years, whatever, but things are starting and things are happening. And I really believe that this next year and a half, this new year coming, is going to be some bigger things in world events, and we will watch and pray and talk about them as they happen, and look forward to Yahweh's kingdom coming. So that's the key to it. As we see these things happen, lift up, for your salvation is near. So I will stop there. I'll turn this off, and if there's any questions, we can discuss this. But